Leading Britain's conversation. This is a podcast from LBC. James O'Brien.
They are here even though I forgot to remind them that Mystery Hour was upon us. You better get involved. We've got three phone lines free. You know how this works. The weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction that is ordinarily only available. Well, it's never available anywhere else on your radio dial. I completely forgot it was Mystery Hour. Am I making that very obvious by my amateurish introduction? I think I am, aren't I? Completely forgot. I was getting ready to carry on talking about the other stuff. Mystery Hour, finally, upon us. 3 minutes after 12 is the time. A little bit of light relief for those of you who may have overdosed upon an almost unleavened diet of Brexit. If you've got a question bubbling away in the back of your mind, somebody else listening to this programme will probably be able to answer it. 0345 6060 973 is the number that you need. If you hear somebody else ask a question to which you know the answer, then you have to ring in and answer it, otherwise your radio will melt. I made the last bit up. That's it, really. Quick heads up, don't be boring. That's really the only rule. We used to have a rule about repetition, but after so many years of doing this feature, frankly, I can't believe it's lasted this long. And every week it justifies its retention in the schedules. But in many ways, it's more popular than ever before. But if you ring in with a question that's really, really obvious, you know, bearing in mind we've been doing this for years, the chances are it's been answered. There's a rather jolly archive over at lbc.co.uk that collates questions that have been asked and answered, sometimes successfully, sometimes not so successfully. Sometimes the wrong answers can be the funniest. But, of course, I'm the only one that's been here for every single episode of Mystery Hour, except one, which somebody doing my holiday cover shamefully decided to run their own version. Only happened once. Yeah. Who's in on Thursday, do we know, of next week's holiday? Can we make it absolutely clear to the Deputy Leader of the Labour Party that he is categorically not allowed to do his own version of Mystery Hour, even if he did grow up on the same street in Kidderminster as me? Thank you. You know the number, you know how it works. You get a round of applause. I will ask what your qualifications are, and that's it, I think. Let's crack on. Sue is in Hendon. Sue, question or answer?
It's a question.
Carry on.
And my question is, after admittedly I was taking the mickey out of my husband this morning due to his rather large bald patch, so my question is, apart from alopecia, why do men lose their hair but women don't, generally?
Generally is a useful...
Yeah. I mean, obviously you see some very, very old ladies with very thinning hair, but generally it's men that lose the hair and get the big bald patches, but women don't.
I'm not going to give myself a round of applause for this, but I'm pretty sure testosterone plays a part in the answer, which is actually something that gallops to your husband's defence, of course, as you tease him mercilessly in the morning. He's got more testosterone than hairy than men with a lot of hair on their heads.
Oh, really?
Well, I think so.
I thought it was the opposite.
Well, steady on. He's not here to defend himself soon. But the point being that what is the biggest difference chemically between men and women? Answer, probably hormonal.
Okay.
Prominent hormone in that context would be testosterone. Therefore, there must be something about it that makes men lose their hair in a way that women don't. And then I extrapolate from that as an utterly unqualified non-scientist.
I was about to ask you what your qualifications are.
Yeah, bald patch. That we are, men with bald patches are demonstrably more manly than men without them.
Oh, I really must tell my husband that.
Well, you tell him that, but in the meantime, we'll try and go definitive. Why do men lose their head hair and women tend not to? It's a generalisation, but I think it's a broad and accurate one. Sue, lovely question. I'm quite interested in the answer myself. Steve's in Shrewsbury. Steve, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on.
If alcohol is both colourless and tasteless, why is it that in the very low alcohol wines and beers, or no alcohol wines and beers, which are brewed in the north and created in the same way and then have the alcohol removed, why do they taste rubbish?
They're an acquired taste. But who told you alcohol was tasteless? Where did you get that from?
I'm sure I learned that alcohol is tasteless.
It can't be.
Pure alcohol is tasteless, I'm sure it is.
It can't be. Have you ever smelt the stuff?
Yes.
And could you smell it?
You have a sensation going down your nose, but I wouldn't say that smelt of anything.
Come off it. You could strip paint with it. It's got such a pungent aroma. And if it has a pungent aroma, then it has a taste. I mean, it burns the back of your throat, for example. That counts as a taste.
I'm sure, no, I'm absolutely... In fact, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, if you remember when they're talking about the Pangalactic Gargle Blaster...
Yes.
It defines alcohol as a colourless, volatile liquid, colourless, tasteless, volatile liquid, and the best drink invented by it was the Pangalactic Gargle Blaster.
I'm not going to argue with you about Douglas Adams, because you're clearly a lot more embedded in that knowledge sphere than I am. But I don't know... I mean... Pure alcohol isn't added to drinks. I think this might
no,
be
it's
a
not, it's created.
This might be a better answer. So if you were creating pure alcohol in a laboratory environment, then maybe it would be tasteless and colourless at the end of that process. But if you're turning sugar into alcohol and the sugar has come from fruit or grain or potatoes...
Yeah, but then there will be a chemical reaction with those... with the grape or the potato or whatever.
Yes.
But the alcohol itself, the alcohol content itself should be... still remain tasteless.
No, but the alcohol plus hop tastes differently from hop without alcohol.
Yeah, but take...
Why are you arguing with me? I think hop. I'm making perfect sense.
What can I do?
No, I know.
Unusually, I have to say.
Yeah, right, caveat there, just in time.
Yeah.
So if well, I mean, because the answer to your question could be that alcohol isn't tasteless, in which case the second bit of the question is rendered redundant.
Yeah, absolutely, and I would accept that if that's true. But I don't believe that, because if it did, then, you know, all beers would taste the same, and, you know, all wines would taste
the same. Yes, but that's part of my answer. I'm just not articulating it very well. It's something about the chemical reaction that creates the flavour, and alcohol is part of the chemical reaction. So even if it is colourless and flavourless, if it's not present in a drink, then the chemical reaction can't take place.
But it is present in the drink initially, and they take it out.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I'm positive about that, yeah. They go through a process where
not
they
on all
actually
of it.
Remove
I mean,
the alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So they make beer and then they somehow get the alcohol out of it?
Yeah, they do. There's only one brand, actually, there's a German brand that I know of, where they actually brew it to very, very, very low alcohol.
Okay.
But the other ones, they actually remove it, which is why they taste so revolting.
Yeah, no, I've got... Well, I disagree with you on that. It's not my tipple of choice. I'd rather have a soft drink than a non-alcoholic... beer, but I've got a couple of friends that enjoy a non-alcoholic Beck's of an evening. 12:10 is the time. All right. So if alcohol is both colourless and tasteless, why does alcohol-free drinks taste different? We won't say rubbish. We'll leave Steve's value judgment hanging. And why do men lose their hair a lot more readily than women? They're two nice questions there. Pete's in Ipswich. Pete, question or answer?
I've got a question, please, James.
Carry on, Pete. It's a terrible phone line. I hate it. What's he doing? Oh, no, I can't do it. Sorry. I've got a real fingernails on blackboard thing going on there. Pete, we will try and fix it, I promise you, but I can't... I'm allowed to indulge the occasional personal phenomenon like that, aren't I? Just something... No, could you hear it? The crackling? Daz is in Leamington Spa. Daz, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
Why is it that when you're in 32 degree air, it feels really hot, but if you're in a 32 degree bath of water, it feels really cold?
I think that should be obvious. And if I can just pause for a moment and burble away to fill the gap, I'm hoping that the light bulb above my head might suddenly come on.
Shoot.
32 degrees. So in a bath, it's 32 degrees and it's cold.
Yeah, it feels cold.
But if you're outside and it's 32 degrees, you're warm.
Yeah.
No, I've got nothing. Have you?
No.
No.
Not a thing.
What's Daz short for? I wasn't expecting to hear a female voice at the other end of the phone.
Daisy.
Oh, lovely. Daisy. No, still not. Even that little very cynical attempt at making small talk didn't see any clouds part and... enlightenment emerge. I shall put it on my list, Daz, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. 12:12 is the time. Pete is in Ipswich with an improved phone line. Pete, question or answer?
Good afternoon. I've got a question for
That's
you. It's
brilliant.
Probably a really easy question and everybody knows the answer except me, but here it is.
Well, go on. I hope not, because I'll be very cross with the producer if it is a really easy question that everybody knows the answer to except you, but let's find out.
I want to know, why do we run anti-clockwise? Whether we're doing an Olympic event, whether we're a horse racing, dog racing, everything is anti-clockwise. Is there a reason for that? And is there a reason we can't run clockwise?
You can run clockwise if you want, but your speed will never be quite as fast as if you were running anti-clockwise.
Really?
Yeah.
You just made that up, or is that like for real?
Because of the Earth's rotation.
No, I'm not having that.
It's the only answer coming.
Makes me sad because my heart's slightly on the left side.
That is one of the theories, or that because we generally favour our right leg in our species. But the real answer is that the Earth's rotation means that you will go faster if you're running anti-clockwise. And if you want to break a record, you're going to have to take every advantage you can, even the incremental nanoseconds. And that is why we run anti-clockwise.
Did we know this back in the days of when the Olympics first started then?
That is a second question. But it is fair say, Peter, that we have not always run anti-clockwise. Historically, we did at points, at times, run in both directions. But I suspect once the digital technology was delivering timing so accurate that they could be broken down into the hundredths, never mind the tenths of a second, that it was noted that when we did it in an anti-clockwise way, we were shaving a couple of hundredths of a second off our times that we couldn't shave off when we were running in a clockwise way.
Okay. I mean, to be fair, I've got nothing. I can't question it.
I'm 99% sure. You asked me what my qualifications are. I'm just going to say I've remembered it, possibly from another episode of Mystery Hour. And I don't know. I'll let you decide whether that's a good enough qualification.
I was going to ask you qualifications, but I didn't want to be rude. You didn't look like a runner.
It's my show, Pete. You can be as rude as you want. And I do look like a runner. I do look like a runner. I'm built for speed, not endurance.
Well, yeah.
There is another Roger Bannister angle on this, you know, which Roger Bannister made a joke about something. I can't remember it, but it hinged upon one leg being longer than the other. And that was why the 4 minute, I can't remember.
Remember that? I mean, obviously, in my case, that would be it.
So you end up with a stronger leg, not a longer leg. If you run anti, I can't remember what it is. I'm going to take a round of applause, Pete, actually.
Okay.
Are you, hang on. No. Pete sounds a little bit. You don't sound convinced, Pete.
I'm not convinced, to be quite honest with you. I mean,
all right, I'll leave it in the fridge.
I think it's not this answer.
No, I'm right though. I just can't at this point in time prove it to you.
Is it provable? Some literature somewhere saying we've always run anti-clockwise because blah blah blah.
Yeah,
I don't think.
But it is because it go faster. I just can't prove it to you.
Can we leave it up there?
Yeah, I'm putting it back in. I'm putting the applause back in the fridge.
Is that what you keep them?
It's where we keep the applause. We've got to keep it fresh. Pete, mind how you go. The best of James O'Brien. If alcohol is colourless and tasteless, why do alcohol-free drinks taste different from alcoholic versions of the same drink? There's quite a bit there, so feel free to pick it from any angle you want. Why do running tracks always go anti-clockwise? It wasn't always the case. I think I got the answer to that right, but I can't prove it. And there's no, don't send me stories about horse racing to refute my, because you don't win. No, they don't time horse races in the way that they time running races. There's no world record, is there, for horse racing? That you just need to beat the other horses. Why, if it's 32 degrees out, are we hot? When if it's 32 degrees in our bath, we'll be cold. I like that question. I've got a sneaking suspicion there might be a flaw at the heart of it, but I'm not clever enough to work out what that potential flaw is, so we'll definitely leave it on the board. And why do men lose their hair more readily, particularly their head hair? It's one of the great curses of growing old as a man, is as you lose hair on your head, you start sprouting it from places where you have no desire to have any hair whatsoever, like your ears and your nostrils in particular. Particular moment in your life where the hairdresser says to you as a man, shall I do your ears? I must have shared this with you before. And you say, pardon? You think they've made a mistake. Shall I do your ears? What the hell are you going to do to my ears? You're a hairdresser. Oh my God, ear hair. And you realise it's a thing. And then if, like a lot of men in the current climate, you've grown facial hair, you have to be very careful if you've got a particularly luxuriant tash to keep an eye on your nostril hair, because there's a grave danger of them meeting around the area of your philtrum. And that's not a good look. Particularly unpleasant if you only notice it after you've been photographed for a prominent publication. Then you console yourself with the thought that you're probably the only one looking closely enough at the photograph to have noticed the meeting of nostril hair and moustache hair. And then you think, it's time to pick the kids up from school. You should really stop obsessing about this sort of thing. And then you remember you're at work, live on the radio, and you're supposed to be doing Mystery Hour, not pontificating about the meeting of nostril hair and moustache hair. Welcome to my world. Stan's in Bethnal Green. Stan, question or answer?
It's an answer to the bath question.
Carry on, Stan.
It's very similar to wind chill factor. That's why sometimes it's cold. It actually feels colder because of the wind.
Yes.
Because basically the water's taking away the heat from your body and replacing it with cold water, which your body then reheats again. And then that moves away, and then it does it again and again. And it's like if you go in the sea, like with wetsuits, that would hold a certain amount of water inside the wetsuit, which your body will carry on heating. But they're not that good in colder waters because the water will eventually flush through and be replaced by cold water. That's why in colder waters you have a thing called the semi-dry, which allows a load of water into your suit, which is very cold when it first goes in.
Yeah.
But your body heat reheats the water and it keeps you warm for a longer period of time than if you didn't have it on at all. And that's basically it. And it's the same as wind chills. Wind chill factor, you go out and
It's the relationship between the temperature and the skin.
Yeah, and as it moves away, it removes the hot air away from your skin.
So you've warmed up a bit of bath water, and it gets replaced with colder water, which is why you feel cold. But when you're outside, you're not warming up the air that's around you because it's
no, that's exactly right.
I get it. I hope everyone else can. What are your qualifications?
Scuba diving instructor.
I know so that we've spoken before.
Yes, we have, young man.
And it always boils down to the scuba diving.
I know, this is all I know. I drive a cab, but this is the only thing that I can ever come on this for.
Jack of no trades, master of one, Stan. There's no harm in that. When you
at least I've got one.
Exactly that, quite right. When are you off for your next dive?
Boris.
Well, I don't know, that's not what I've heard. When's your next dive?
We're actually looking to go down to Brighton and dive off of Brighton in a couple of weekends if the weather's okay.
Oh, good luck to you.
There's some great diving off of there. People go, Brighton?
Really?
But you get fantastic visibility and you go out and you've got to remember around this coast we've had how many world wars, there's so many wrecks and before sat-navs and everything else, and there's so much to go and there's so much life in the wrecks. You go into the wrecks and it's just full of life. To be totally honest with you, there's more life off the coast of the UK, and diving around the UK is fantastic, better than the Mediterranean. It might be warmer there, but they've fished the life out of it. There is so much to see in the waters around the UK, places like Lundy Island, Farne Island.
Mate, listening to someone who knows their onions like you do, this is, in a way, part of why Mystery Hour is so popular, because, of course there is, because it's a much, much, much bigger shipping lane than almost anywhere else on the planet.
But there is so much to see. You go up to Lundy Island and the Farne Islands, Pembrokeshire in Wales, there's some fantastic diving. And obviously, go all the way up to Scotland and you do Scapa Flow and places like that. Honestly, check out the diving in the UK. But then, to be honest, I'd advise you to do it in a dry suit, which then goes the next stage where you actually put warm clothing on it. You zip the dry suit up, which is the zip on the back is was designed when they did NASA and the space probe. So it keeps all water out and you keep nice and toasty underneath.
I've done that. I did that in Devon when I went surfing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look great in a wetsuit and a dry suit. Stan, I'll leave you with that image.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Round of applause to Stan. 24 minutes after 12 is the time. Dave's in Derby. Question or answer, Dave?
It's a question, James.
Carry on, Dave.
It's a topical one because today is Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God.
I bet you got an inundated, didn't you?
Why
are roses synonymous with
so
love? Why not tulips or daisies or anything like that?
Tulips?
Well, no, but why roses?
Oh, I see, tulips. I thought
not
you said
tulips.
Yeah, no, tulips.
My mate sold his Banksy, by the way, but we spoke about that at Christmas. Why are roses synonymous with love?
I like it. I don't know.
And me? Yeah.
I don't know. Hearts, reds, but there's a lot. I mean, they're the most obviously red flower. Roses, red, violets, and blue.
Can I go on your board?
You're on my board, Dave.
Oh,
you're already on my board. I just sometimes, you know how it works. I like to grope around a bit for a while. No, groping, not pontificating.
Well, I'm moving on.
I'm groping around trying to find an answer, and I've got nothing. And it is a beautifully topical. Did the Valentine's Fairy visit you, Dave?
The card did, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I had a posted outside town, so I didn't realise it was off myself.
Just go, move along. There's nothing to see here. Why are roses associated with Valentine's Day? 03456060973. Why do we run anti-clockwise around running tracks? Why do men lose their hair at a rate of knots unrecognisable to women, generally speaking? And if alcohol is tasteless, why does alcohol-free drink taste different from the same drink with alcohol in it? Is there another one that I've missed? I've written down ant. But I think that was just anti-clockwise. 26 after 12 is the time. Vida is in Fulham. Question or answer, Vida?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Vida.
It's my birthday today.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
It reminded me, every time people ask me how old I am, yes, I never have a definitive answer.
Really?
Because in England, I'm turning 54 today.
Yes.
But if I was in my birthplace, which is Iran,
yes,
they would say I was entering my 55th year of life. Because they count life in the womb. And then I started getting confused.
No. You're entering your 55th year here as well.
But they say you're 55.
Well, then you're entering your 56th year.
Oh. Wait, I'm even more confused now.
You're confused? I don't even know what day it is.
I called you to clarify.
I know, I hate it when this is. But it's quite confusing, this, because I'm now 47, but of course I've got 47 years in the bank, which means I'm in my 48th year.
But they don't count your 9 months in the womb.
No,
here,
they don't,
do they?
And they definitely do that in Iran, do they?
Yes.
Well, then you'd have a birthday 3 months after your birthday.
Probably. But that's,
what do you mean, probably? You're the Iranian. Do you have another birthday 3 months after your actual birthday?
No, wait, I have a Yorkshire granny, so that allows for my...
So if you go to Iran now, what, do you have an Iranian passport?
Maybe we shouldn't go there. I haven't...
Fair enough. It's a bit of a political hot potato, isn't it? I can't believe Mystery Hour. Even Mystery Hour ends up enslaved to Middle Eastern political problems. No, but if you did have an Iranian passport, it would have the same date of birth on it, Vida, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Well, then you're the same age in both countries, you silly sausage.
No, because in Iran, when it was someone's first birthday, they said they were two. Unless I've gone mad.
I think you might have gone temporarily mad. I'll put it on the board for you, but...
But there's also... I was just wondering if there are other cultures that take on board the 9 months.
Yeah, but I don't think they do take on board that.
But that is life.
Well, you can't do that. We've just had to give a quick steer to the... Oh, boy, Middle Eastern politics. And just because that's not controversial enough, you've decided to bring... abortion and pro-choice politics into the... This is Mystery Hour, Vida. It's light relief.
I'm so sorry. It is actually my favourite hour of the week.
Well, it used to be mine.
The one thing I've never had is a round of applause.
Give her a round of applause for her birthday.
Oh.
I can't say fairer than
that. That was the best present ever, thank you.
Well, yeah, I shall hopefully get you an answer as well to augment the present, but I have a feeling you may have misunderstood some of the premises of your question, but of course it's perfectly possible that I'm the dope who has misunderstood you, in which case I apologise in advance for any looming revelations.
The best of James O'Brien.
Why did we run anti-clockwise? Why is Vida 55 in Iran and 54 in England? I think the question's valid, but I don't think it's got anything to do with counting the months spent in the womb. The more dismissive I am of a question, and I was quite dismissive of Vida, the more likely it is that I'm going to get my comeuppance later in the programme. So stay tuned for comeuppances. Why does alcohol-free drink taste so different from alcohol drink, given that alcohol is supposed to be tasteless? And why are roses associated with romance? Israel is in Peckham. Israel, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on, Israel.
It's to do with why we run in the anti-clockwise motion, especially during the Olympics.
Oh, yes.
As you know, the Olympics obviously originated in ancient Greece.
Yes.
And ancient Greece's way of life and their philosophy and ideologies were... a lot of it was based on mythology, cosmology, and especially astrology. So right. The idea of running in anti-clockwise was based on the planet, because the planets move in an anti-clockwise direction around the sun. And that's why also in the original Olympics, I know Olympics has changed and more games have been added over the years. In the original games, if you notice, all of the games were either spherical, they were all to do with spheres. So shot put.
Javelin?
They were all to do.
Mate,
they were all
the, to do, the javelin's a spear, not a sphere.
Yeah, the javelin's the spear. That was to do with the shooting star. But other than that...
You can't, hang on a minute. Listen, you know sit down, Israel. Sit down and take your medicine. Say they're all spheres. And I said, like the javelin. And you went, yeah, like the javelin. The javelin's not a sphere.
No, it's not a sphere.
It's a goddamn sphere.
No, it is a spear. I'm not disagreeing with you, James.
All right.
I'm not arguing with you, James. But so, all of the other games, the disc, the shot put, were all based on
planets and
planetary motions and how planets and moons were orbiting planets and how planets orbit the sun.
Now, qualifications?
Now a lot of people do say, just to cut you there, sorry.
That's fine.
A lot of people do say that, in terms of what you were saying earlier on about you can run faster or they shave. Now, a lot of people, there may be. I'm not suggesting that there isn't any truth to that or there is, but there may be.
But you think this is part of it as well? I'm getting some suggestions that people run clockwise in the southern hemisphere, not in the northern hemisphere. That doesn't make sense.
No, not at all. Because
it's a problem with reading out text live on air.
That wouldn't qualify.
But if you go back to 1896 in Paris or 1900, they ran clockwise in the Olympics. Uh-huh.
When was this? What record was this? Where are you getting this from, James?
So it's memory. No, I mean it, memory, because I answered this question, I thought, correctly. And I know that as recently as 1900 or thereabouts, they were running clockwise in Paris. I can't remember whether it's 1896 or 1900, but you know what it's like, Israel. You're like me. You're a man who's got a lot of information filed away in your brain, and you can't always find it as quickly as you want. But I know that at some point in the beginning or the very end of the 19th century or the very beginning of the 20th, there was an Olympics in Paris, and they ran clockwise. So doesn't that slightly undermine your position?
Well, no. What I would say is
no. Says the man who thinks a spear is a sphere.
What I would say, James. What I would say is that I don't know. I have no knowledge of them running clockwise, and the reason why there may have been a reason why they chose to or they decided to do that. But all the Olympics, and especially in ancient Greece, everything was done anti-clockwise.
But didn't the ancient Greeks think that? I mean, they didn't believe in heliocentrism, did they? They thought that the sun revolved around us, not that we revolved around the sun, Israel.
No, but they were very much aware that...
I'm not giving it. You're not having it. You're not having it.
I'm telling you...
No, you're not having it. You're not having it. You're good. You're good, but you're not that good. Go on.
The ancient Greeks were very much aware that although there wasn't heliocentric, because it was all based on our perception, they were well aware that planets orbiting the sun in a clockwise direction.
All right. I'm still not giving you a round of applause.
Ah, come on,
No
James.
Way, man. No way.
I'm not going to let you rob me of my round of applause.
You've been on the radio almost as long as I have today. You're not going to get a round of applause.
As a matter of fact, I should get a Ray Liotta.
You'd get a Ray Liotta. Not unless you invented the Olympics or you're Roger Bannister, which is highly unlikely given that he's passed away and your name's Israel. Should we give him a... No, I don't think you're right, mate. If I turn out to be right, I will not only give you a round of applause, I will eat a small slice of humble pie live on the radio again. 12:40. Chris is in Stansted. Chris, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on, Chris.
What's the rules about horse riders having to pick up the horse's poo from the road?
There aren't any. They don't have to.
Why? What's the difference between picking up a horse's poo and a dog's poo?
You'd stop saying poo.
Sorry.
All right. It's poison. There's no diseases associated with horses are herbivores, so there's no you can blind a child with dog excrement, but a horse you put it on your roses to stay with the Valentine's theme. So there's no potential harm apart from you wouldn't want to tread in it, but if you did, you wouldn't actually be treading in something that could cause you harm. Whereas with dog excrement, there is harm involved.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'll take a round of applause for that. I mean, we could add to that answer, but generally speaking, dog excrement is poisonous, and horse poo isn't. Just on application, obviously, I wouldn't advise eating either. Michael is in Leicester. Michael, question or answer? Did I get a round of applause then? Did I get it? I don't remember it. Thank you. Oh, that feels good. Michael, question or answer?
Oh, yeah, an answer.
Carry on.
So, it's with the low-alcohol beverages.
Yes.
So, they taste poor because when they get rid of the alcohol, they boil it off through distillation, and the tasty compounds that taste nice also have low boiling points and boil off largely at the same time.
So they, in the process of removing the alcohol, they inevitably also remove some of the flavoursome components.
Exactly.
Not the alcohol itself that renders the taste different, it's the stuff that gets boiled off with the alcohol.
Yeah, but saying that, alcohol, like you said, tastes fairly horrible.
It does have a taste.
It's not a nice taste.
Well, it burns. But, I mean, does that count as a taste if it's burning?
It's slightly bitter as well. It's not nice.
Qualifications?
Chemistry teacher.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that. Chemistry teacher. Do you do a lot of alcohol-based experiments in class?
Well, I do a lot outside of class.
Don't we all? Round of applause for Michael. How loud can I sing after drinking at 12:43? Rochelle is in Hackney. Rochelle, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on, Rochelle.
It's to your red rose question.
Why do we associate roses with romance? Because a rose would smell as sweet by any other name.
Indeed, but roses actually have lots of different meanings, lots of different coloured roses, so the red rose symbolises love.
Yes.
Because of its colour, the colour of passion, war, blood shed.
You're just saying words, Michelle. I need a historical precedent. When did it become the War of the Roses? One of them was white. It doesn't have anything to do with romance.
Well, white roses symbolise sympathy. So you give white when someone's buried.
But why? When did it start? When did it start?
It's through history. I think at the beginning, I don't know about the beginning, but Aphrodite was seen with a red rose in some of the Greek mythological paintings. It's the colour. It's the colour of passion.
I know. I'm not.
I'm
being quite strict today. No, you're not getting a round of applause. You and Israel can drown your sorrows together with some of the alcohol that the last fella's cooked up in his chemistry lab. I'm not having it.
I think it goes back to Greek mythology.
Well, anyone can say that. That's always one of my go-to answers when I'm BSing my way out of trouble. Oh, it goes back to Greek mythology.
Because
go on, then give me the thing it goes back to. You can't just say Greek mythology. Give me the myth.
Okay, Venus and Aphrodite had red roses symbolised with them. It's the symbol of it's the colour of passion.
You keep saying the same things, but you don't tell me why.
Because it just seems that way.
I am not your 8-year-old child. When I say why, you do not say because I say so or because it is. Beep. Not having it. Turn out to be right, I'll get. But there must be a point at which we can track it to when it became a symbol of romance and love. I'm getting some other answers as well, which I'm a little bit wary of, but. We shall see, Rochelle. I'm not giving you a round of... Stop saying Greek mythology like it answers anything. Why did we do that? Greek mythology. You're just like Israel. He said the same thing. Greek Olympic, Greek mythology.
It's true, James.
Just because I have a soft spot for Greece, you've obviously come on the programme and thought that you can just reference Greece and I'll turn off my otherwise ferocious critical faculties.
Should I give you a specific painting?
Yes. No, I don't want a specific painting. I want to know why the red rose is associated with romance. And you've just rung me up to say because it is. And something Greek.
The best of James O'Brien.
The chap who got in touch a couple of days ago, Gerald, to remind me it was Mercutio who said a plague on both their houses. Also, I forgot to mention, got in touch yesterday to correct my Shelley quote from Ozymandias. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. And he reminds me... it's becoming my pocket literature professor. Although he's made a small mistake here. The phrase I was using is from Romeo and Juliet, that which we call a rose that which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. But why is it associated with romance? It's all about Greek mythology. Imran's in Hackney. Imran, question or answer?
Answer, please, Job.
Carry on, Imran.
Okay. The answer is, why do men have receding hairlines or baldness and women don't?
Yes.
It's because we suffer from, it's like a hormone, PGD2. I don't know about this, and we suffer from it more than women do, and so we hold bold.
Is that linked to testosterone?
Yes. But not so much, not particularly, not 100%. Because, well, because the thing is, look at me, I'm not the strongest, most testosterone-filled guy, but yet my hair was receding.
Yes, but no, it depends what we mean by testosterone, doesn't it? I don't think it's called T. What are your qualifications?
Okay, so I found this treatment that's coming out, and I was waiting for it for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And because I couldn't be bothered waiting anymore, I decided to have a hair transplant.
Right.
I know it's going to start to go again because there are other parts of my head that look like it may start to recede.
Okay.
But it's okay. I'm going to wait for the PGD2 inhibitor.
Really?
No, it's literally, it's a thing.
Well, is it TGD2 or PGD2?
No, Papa, yeah. Golf, Delta, 2, the number.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. But that's only if you've got...
Look it up.
Well, no, I'm only checking up on you. I'm not offering up an answer, but it's only androgenetic alopecia.
Well, yes, well if you...
And women don't have it. Women don't have it.
Well, there you go, then. So, can I...
No, I'm not telling you, I'm asking you. Women don't have as much PGD2.
Women don't suffer from it like men do.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I'll give you a round of applause for that. How much did you pay for your hair transplant?
Well, actually, I went to Turkey, so I only paid about $1,500, including flight.
It's not bad, actually, all in. Are you pleased with it?
Everything. The hotel room, the food I paid for myself, but everything else was fine.
All in. I don't get it, mate. I know, I'm balding on top. I have been for years. Do you remember the first time you were in the hairdresser's chair and they showed you the back of your head and you thought, that's not my head?
Yes.
That's a terrible moment. And then if you do television, occasionally you glance across the studio and they've got a headshot coming from right up above on the studio ceiling and you think, who's that slap? Oh, my God, it's me. But I don't get the push to be... I mean, I'm pretty cool about it. I'm not a very vain person, as a general rule, but I don't think it's vanity. You just feel somehow... You feel lessened by the loss of your hair. I just feel mildly irritated.
Yeah, but it worked for me to have the hair transplant, because that's how I found my wife. I mean, she said my hair was nice when I was short, when it was short.
Yeah, but you don't want to marry someone. What happens if it all falls out again? Is she going to leave you?
Well, please. No, I don't think so.
Now you've got a mystery. A round of applause in your trophy cabinet. How could anyone walk away from those sort of riches? Imran, mind how you go. Joe is in Brighouse. Joe, question or answer?
It is answer.
Carry on, Joe.
It is. We go anti-clockwise. This has bugged me for absolute years. I'm a PE teacher. I've got a sports degree. I'm also a British Gymnastics National Tutor.
Fantastic.
We run anti-clockwise because our heart is on the left-hand side. So for after many years of having students in halls and fields and say, right, off you go, start running, they innately run anti-clockwise. And that's because your heart's on the left-hand side.
So it's a curious mixture of anatomy and tradition, which your answer can accommodate the fact that we have run clockwise in previous generations, but we've just over the centuries worked out that this is best. And we probably do run a bit faster when running anti-clockwise.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. It's innate in us. If you get a bunch of kids on a field or in a hall and say, right, start running, that this will go in an anti-clockwise direction.
I like this answer. Qualifications PE teacher, so you looked it up once.
I had to. It was bugging me for years.
That's all right.
Why do these children keep running in an anti-clockwise direction? I'm a PE consultant now, so...
A PE consultant?
Yes.
Whoa! I've never met a PE consultant before. What do you do? Do you go into schools and help them improve their PE teaching?
Yes, absolutely. That's what I've been doing for the last 14 years.
Love it. And what's your discipline as a coach, as a gymnastics coach?
Well, it's general.
Is it?
General gym.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
A round of applause for Joe.
Oh!
Look at that.
Jason.
That's just amazing.
She's
in it. She's over. She's won. 12:54. Stefan is in Luxembourg. Stefan, question or answer?
answer, or I should say clarification to an answer that was given earlier.
Go on. Which one was it?
So the one about the bathtub and why you cooled the bath or warm in the sun at 30 degrees.
Stan's not going to like this.
So your core temperature is basically is about 37 degrees. And if you look at the temperature distribution over the skin of the body, you'll have maybe like 18 or 20 degrees on the skin, on your hands or on your lower arms.
Oh, yeah.
But you would have 38 degrees or 37 degrees under, you know, in certain parts of your body, let's say under your arms. Mm. That's why you can measure fever, etc. So you're essentially losing heat when you sit in the bath with 30 degrees. You're losing heat, and that's why the body feels cold. And the reason you're losing heat is because water is a very good conductor. The reason you're not losing heat in the air is because air is a very poor conductor. So
Stan was right, but you just know more science, and he knows more about scuba diving.
Well, yeah, the scuba diving, the wetsuit is basically neoprene, which fills itself with water, which creates a temperature gradient. So that's why the water nearest to your body, you know, gets warmed up. And you can very simply check that if you're at 32 degrees and you drive your car, you've got the convertible, you feel cold. Why? Because the convection, the forced convection through the driving at, let's say, you know, 50, 60, or 100 miles an hour, just basically creates a very good conducting away of the heat from your body. And then even though the temperature is like 30 degrees, you still feel cold.
Right. Qualifications?
PhD in thermodynamics, and I used to work for Mercedes as a specialist for thermal comfort of passengers in cars.
God, while you're here, can you tell us when the German car industry is going to gallop to the rescue of Britain in the context of the Brexit negotiations, Stefan? Because it's getting a bit late, lads. Can you tell them to hurry up? Because I don't know if anyone's told you this, but you need us more than we need you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just you wait. it's absolutely incredible. I love your show. It's the it's the only voice that I hear on radio with reason about this whole Brexit.
Hang on, Sheila Fogarty's just walked in to the studio, Stefan. You need to start listening in your lunch break as well, not just in the mornings.
Sheila's good too.
Stefan.
I like Sheila.
So, I mean, reading between the lines, Stefan, you seem to be suggesting that the German car industry isn't going to come galloping to the rescue of Brexit.
I don't think it's going to happen. Oh. I don't think it's going to happen. Oh, and I think everything that has to do with just-in-time manufacturing is in a big, big mess. It's not going to survive.
Yeah, but you only work for BMW. You've never been Digby Jones. Have a round of applause for Stefan. Thank you very much. Why is Nimco Ali here? We are not talking about issues which she normally contributes to. Nimco, question or answer?
Answer, James, and hopefully I'll get a round of applause as well.
Let's not get carried away, mate.
Pardon?
Let's not get carried away. You've got an open invitation to come on the programme with your FGM campaigning, but Mystery Air is serious. Carry on.
Yeah, this is the birth question that the lady from Iran had.
Yes.
And I have the same issue as a Somali. I turned 36 this year, but my mother says I turned 37. And ultimately, they count the year of your birth as your first year of life.
Yes.
So they don't say you turn one after you finish a full year. They say you turn two.
Yeah, so but it has nothing to do with pregnancy.
No, it has nothing to do with pregnancy, and it has nothing to do with your 9 months in the womb.
No, but it is simply... So I am now in my 48th year, but I call myself 47 by tradition and convention. If I had been raised in Somaliland, or indeed Iran, I would say I was 48 now.
Yes. You would.
So if you're really self-conscious about your age and you live in Iran, move to Britain.
Exactly. That's why, that's why I'm quite offended every time I go to Somaliland and I'm told I'm a year older than I actually am.
It's outrageous. Qualifications?
Being Somali.
That'll do. Round of applause for Nimco.
Thank you.
We'll talk again if there's any idea. We got quite a lot of coverage, didn't we, for old Chope face?
You did. He's hopefully going to get deselected soon, and then I'll probably see you next week at some, well, the week after you come back from your half-term holidays.
It's almost like you pay attention to the programme, Nimco. Thank you very much indeed. That's it from me for another day. The next voice you will hear on LBC is sadly one of the voices that is not full of reason. It's Sheila Fogarty.
It's crazy.
If you enjoyed this podcast, hear James O'Brien live every weekday morning from 10, only on LBC.